Happy Tuesday! Welcome to A Voice of a People, live with Linda Sims here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can download free app on any electronic device, which you can find in your Play Store. The app is called Tune In, and once you find it, please search WWGH. Okay, not only that, you can call in while we are live and in person broadcast. You can do that if you want to be a part of the conversation. Asking questions or making comments, please call 740-383-9944. This is February the 8th. Time is really going fast. Not only that, February is noted for Black History Month. I do have a couple things that the Marion Public Library are celebrating for Black History. One of them seems to be African American Read-In Black History Month of 2022. And they have books titled Tears. What's this one called? Tolson Whitehead, Harlem Shuffle, The Sweetness of Water, Nathan Harris, The Sum of Us, okay, Act Your Age, Eve Brown, Talia Hibbert is the author, Amanda Gorman, Call Us What We Carry, another book, 400 Souls, The Love Songs. And this is taking place February the 28th, 3:30 to 5:30 p.m. at the Marion Public Library. They also have Family Ties, Getting Started with Your Genealogy. I think I said that correctly. This is February the 23rd. At 5:30 p.m. at the Marion Public Library. We will review resources found at Marion Public Library and research tips for building your family tree. All you need to participate is curiosity. Who will you discover? People always want to know their roots or their ancestors or people that were before them to help them see who they are. You know, that's how we find out who we are, where we come from, why did we come from there, why are we here where we are today. Our parents came here to settle. And there's something else which we lack in the African American community is home buyers. And at the Marion Public Library, Saturday, February the 19th at 10 a.m., they will be having a class ready to purchase your first home. Realtor Andy Norris, mortgage specialist Don Sein, and insurance professional Scott Ebert. I will walk you through a checklist of wants, needs, and financials in your process of buying a home. Okay, so they have some great things going on at the Marion Public Library that you can take advantage of, books to read, learning some Black history, not just for Black people, but for all people. We need to know about one another. Okay, after all, we live in this world together, right? Right, absolutely. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-382-8552. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio, 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. Ongoing announcement, free produce will begin again April the 16th, 2022. Third Saturday of every month will begin at 12 noon until 2 p.m. Inspect Ohio, LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 30 years of experience working for you. Owner, Cheryl Lee. Location, LaRue, Ohio, 740-262-0939. I have a thought for you today. It's titled, Dance in Happiness. Dance, moving rhythmically. How you say that? Rhythm, with rhythm, right? Move that way to music, following a set of sequence of steps, okay? Alrighty. Happiness, a state of being happy, contentment, pleasure, satisfaction, cheerfulness, joy, delight, exuberance. I like that word, exuberance. The easy way to remain happy is to remain constantly light. You can even be, you ever heard, seen someone dance and people might say, oh, he's light on his feet. You know, people that you wouldn't think could be light on their feet or just can move so gracefully with music and just like a ballerina. That is so graceful and I love ballerinas, how they're so elegant and how they move and how they pose. Some people are just real, and they're light on their feet. After all, they dance on their tippy toes, right? Okay. Pure thoughts are light, and waste thoughts are heavy. Therefore, keep your intellect busy with pure thoughts, and you will become light and continue to dance in happiness. We only have to make sure that we continue to give happiness to others without any expectations. For this, we have to increase our own treasure of happiness by continuing to be happy under all circumstances. That seems impossible, doesn't it? How can you be happy under all circumstances? Whew! I don't know. But when you find out, let me know. Call me at the radio, 740-383-9944. How can you? For this, we have to increase our own treasure of happiness by continuing to be happy under all circumstances. Well, they have really cut out our work for us today, haven't they? Keep that in mind, to continue to be happy in all circumstances. And when I wrote down dance and happiness, it took me to David. Everyone knows King David in the Bible, how he danced with glee and happiness, rejoicing in his dance, giving thanks and praising God. Now, he danced out of his clothes, but it also says that he had on a linen ephod. He was not naked, but he did dance out of his clothes. And this also symbolizes the leaping of joy of the child John the Baptist in his mother's womb when Virgin Mary was in front of her pregnant cousin Elizabeth. So, jumping with glee, jumping with the presence of the Holy Spirit, just being touched by God, right? Leap for joy, makes your heart light, your feet light, and makes you exuberant. Joyful, gleeful. Have you ever been in a church and you see people take off running, just running, and just running in a circle all the way around the building numerous times, and you're thinking, wow, well, what happened to them, you know? And some people dance, especially in those black churches. Boy, they be cutting the rugs. They can dance. The elderly mothers, they can dance. I never did get the gist of all that footwork they do, but they can dance in exuberance of the Lord. So remember that, how David, King David, danced out of his clothes, praising and thanking God, for he finally had the Ark of the Covenant in his possession. Okay? Alrighty. Hopefully that will leave you gleefully, joyfully, and cheerful. Okay? My guest today will be Brad DeCamp. He is the director of the Adam H. Board here in Marion, Ohio. Brad is my guest 2 or 3 times a year, and he is very, very busy. So I want to talk with him when he does call in about the year in review and what's ahead for the new year. Did you plan your new year out yet? Some people have already set things in motion, at least have their calendars made out for the year, or whatever expectations they may have. They've been busy taking care of that business, where they're going on their vacations, and have you done that yet? Please don't ask me, because I have not done that. Maybe that's why I haven't been on vacation in the past 4 or 5 years, right? I think I'm going to do that. Well, we did have COVID, so that took out 2 years. But a lot of people began to travel again 2021, so I guess it's pretty safe to do that, right? Why not? Why not? People just have been in a crazy frame of mind, especially on the airplanes and things like that. Just crazy. Let us pray for those people. Let us pray for one another, because COVID is still around, and it still has an impact in our cities, in our states, and in our nation, and around the world, So we must be vigilant in all that we do, steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So let us do what we find necessary to do. And let us dance in happiness, right? Dance in happiness. Do you like to dance? I used to love dancing. Oh, I could dance for hours and hours and hours. But not much anymore do I dance. There's nowhere to go, right? To dance. Things have really changed in our society right now. Not so many parties and just not so much to do. And don't forget, Valentine's Day is next Monday. So don't forget your sweetheart, candy, dinner dates, roses, however you celebrate. Don't forget Valentine's Day. February is also, you know, popular or famous for Valentine's Day, along with Black History Month. Okay, waiting on Brad to call in. I'm sure I have him down for today. Yes, I do. All right. Who's ever gone to the policeman's ball? Did they used to celebrate Valentine's Day or not? Does anyone know? It used to be so many fun things to do back in the day. Okay. Here's my caller. Hello, Brad.
Hello, Linda.
How are you?
I'm okay. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
You're a little bit low, so I'm going to try to turn up my volume. Okay, try now.
Can you hear me?
It's still a little bit low, but I can hear you.
Okay, okay. Hopefully you can, and we can get through our interview, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year. Hope you're doing well.
I seem to be.
Very good.
I haven't had to have one COVID test yet.
Well, you're better off than I am. I got, our household got hit with it New Year's Eve weekend.
Really? Coming into 2022? Brad?
Yes, can you say that again?
Coming into this new year, you were hit with COVID?
Yeah, my wife and daughter tested positive on New Year's Eve. So we spent about the first week or so of the new year all together in the house. So that was kind of how we started off 2022.
Everybody's well now, right?
Yes, we really weren't too bad off. It was, you know, just basically kind of light symptoms. My wife did have a bit of a lingering cough, but she's better now.
Well, praise God for that. I'm glad she's better.
Yes.
Wow. So, you know, I always like to bring you on for January and talk about, or February, to talk about the year in review for the Adam H. Board. I know you were very, yes. very busy.
Yeah, so I think as I look back on 2021 and look forward into 2022, I think obviously one of the big things we were kind of dealing with was, you know, still some, you know, vestiges of COVID and the pandemic and the impact that it's had on individuals in our community. And, you know, I think that we have, we're still trying to make through that and kind of sort through the new normal and be there for people and, you know, try to provide help, you know, where we can and really try to work with our partner agencies and, you know, kind of move forward and strengthen our system as best we can. One of the big issues that we had kind of come off from the middle of 2021 on was we did have two of our provider agencies that we've contracted with for many years decide that they're going to merge. So the Marion Area Counseling Center is merging with Community Counseling Services in Bucyrus, and they will be forming a new agency called Community Counseling and Wellness Centers. And they are actively in the process of going through the legal paperwork that needs to occur for that, and they're projecting to have that new entity online as of July 1 of this year. And all the contact information will stay the same as it would have been for Marion Area Counseling Center. They still have the housing programs and other services, but they will have some new personnel leading that organization. But that's one of the bigger things that we had begin happening in 2021 and is moving forward in 2022. We began working with some additional treatment agencies this year. So we were brought on a couple additional provider agencies that we've not contracted with before. And what we were trying to do is create more services for or places where individuals who need help could go for services in the event that they couldn't get into one or others, that they would have an opportunity to be able to connect and still get help for services should they need them. We continue to, I think, struggle with a couple of issues, one being drug overdoses. We're still seeing a lot of people who are dying by drug overdose, and those numbers are concerning. We don't have the 2021 figures officially yet, but it looks like we may have the numbers are below where we were in 2020 right now, but we won't know for sure what that looks like until later in the year. And even once we know that number, we know that if we're losing more than one, or more losing any lives at all in overdose, that's one too many.
Right.
So we have a lot of work to do there, and we'll continue to do that. And we also started to have a bit of a formation of a coalition around suicide prevention in Marion County. That's been a group that I've been really interested in getting started for a couple years now, and it looks like we finally have the timing right for that to get started. And so we've got some. A group of people who came together out at Tri Rivers a few weeks ago, and we're going to continue to try to recruit people to see if they're interested in serving on a suicide prevention coalition in Marion County to try to help support education and prevention to, you know, reduce the risk of death by suicide as well.
How does that work, Brad, being on that committee?
If someone were interested in joining?
Right.
Just to contact the board, either myself or Paula Brown, and we'll be happy to get you connected. We've just had kind of a town hall meeting of those who are interested, and so if they're interested in getting more information or perhaps serving on a coalition, they can contact the Adam H. Board, and we'd be happy to include them. And what we'll probably do for at least a few more months is do a couple meetings, organizational meetings by Zoom, and then hopefully pull people together face-to-face maybe later in the spring. But, yeah, certainly they can contact us, and we'd be happy to connect them.
Right. I mean, what would their responsibility be as far as being on that committee?
I think for the coalition, what we're really trying to do is raise awareness and kind of educate our community on suicide risks. And so we would be looking for people who would be interested in, you know, coming to events to help, you know, promote good suicide prevention tools, to become educated themselves, and to really kind of be maybe not a spokesperson, but someone who can be available to, you know, help inform others of, you know, what is good suicide prevention and what's not, and to be, you know, kind of a voice of another person in the community, whether it's just with their family or their friends or their close network, to really be someone who has helped spreading the word of how to prevent suicide.
I was talking to a young man. He has problems or struggles with schizophrenia, and he had to go to counseling, and he was saying how he did not feel connected with the counselors, and he didn't feel like they really cared about him, African-American young man.
Were you asking about counseling services?
Yeah, he had to go through counseling services. He just couldn't find anyone to really connect or even seem like they were concerned about his condition. And I told him I would ask, you know, you about it one day. And because how many African-American counselors do we have serving in Marion County, you know?
That's a good question. I'm not sure that I know that off the top of my head, and I certainly, you know, appreciate where that's coming from in terms of wanting to, you know, receive services from someone who, you know, really genuinely understands different racial and ethnic issues. So I would say if someone is having a concern, again, they're welcome to contact myself or Paula, and we'll do our very best to try to link them with someone who might be better suited, or may, or at least have them feel more comfortable receiving services from someone.
Right, yeah, because you would want that, especially if you're reaching out to people that's having what they call the health issues or trauma. I guess
yes.
You would call that trauma also. because people, they just need help, mental health issues. I think that's the right way to say it, right? Mental health issues. And to reach out to different ethnic groups. And it's just like going to the doctor and find a doctor that's going to fit you and your needs and your concerns. So this is just a day that we're living in now, you know? And hopefully those things can get better in the future.
Yeah, and certainly if someone is having trouble finding help, or, you know, if they don't feel comfortable either with you know, an agency or, you know, so that's what we'll try to do. We'll certainly make every effort that we can to connect them with someone, even if it's not necessarily someone in our board area. You know, we would hope that that would be the case, but in some cases it may not be. So we'll do whatever we can to try to help someone find the help that they feel comfortable receiving.
Okay. All right. And the drug overdose, is that still heroin-based?
No. Actually, the large driver behind the overdoses has been fentanyl. I think what we've seen is a lot of people are getting, in some cases, either methamphetamine or other substances that are either laced with fentanyl or, you know, have been cut with fentanyl, and that's really one of the big drivers, not just in Marion, but also the state of Ohio and frankly nationally, that's caused the biggest, is the biggest cause of death, the driver of that over the last, I would say, almost 2 to 3 years.
That's a long run, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, we still have a lot of work to do, and, you know, I think there's, you know, we can't be vigilant enough. I think we just have to be mindful of making sure we're trying to identify areas where, you know, people may, where they're vulnerable. You know, if they've been in recovery for a while and, you know, they've quit using entirely and, you know, they could be vulnerable then. They could be vulnerable coming out of a residential placement where they've been you know, inpatient for maybe 28 or 30 days or longer, or, you know, maybe detox after a week or so, or even maybe having been in jail for a short period of time. So I think that's one of the things I hope to do over the next year, is try to figure out where are those points that we can maybe be a little bit better at identifying potential opportunities for where overdose could exist, so that we can provide individuals with linkage or whatever the case may be, so that they're at least protected from that.
Right. I see that there you will be having a free Narcan training.
Yes, we had to reschedule the one that was going to be, I believe it was at McKinley last week because of the weather, the winter storm, but
right.
We did reschedule that to the 22nd, so we'll be providing that in the community on the 22nd at McKinley.
Okay, and that's going to be at 6 p.m., those of you who may be listening. Yes, you know, the day that we live in is scary. I mean, with the pandemic. Go ahead.
No, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's, and I was, when last week I was away for a few days at a conference, and one of the individuals who was presenting at one of the sessions I went to basically just talked about any drug use right now in the United States is very dangerous. And, you know, people, there's just very little, there's not a lot of information, not that, you know, there's, you know, you, that you, maybe we would have had this before, but I think there's just a lot of adulteration in the drug supply, and people maybe being told that they're buying or taking something or being given something, and it's something completely different. And again, it's largely driven by fentanyl, which is an extremely powerful synthetic painkiller that's in the drug stream now.
So terrible. So terrible. It's like the pandemic is not enough, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, the pandemic's been hard on all of us. I think that we've all experienced, you know, certain stressors from that. And, you know, that's something. There's a statistic that says, you know, 1 in 5 Americans will have a mental health disorder. But, you know, 5 of 5 of us have you know, experience this pandemic. I mean, it's been worldwide, it's been nonstop, so there's certainly certainly an element of cumulative community-wide trauma that's been, you know, kind of foisted upon us by this.
Oh, yeah, nationwide, worldwide, right?
Yes, exactly.
We're all in the same boat where that's concerned. I'm like, wow. And it's still here with us, and it arrived, what, in 2019? And, oh, my God, I can't believe
yeah.
It's still here. But it's here. And it's still causing havoc on our minds and just our mental health, everybody, right?
it truly has. And I think that we're seeing that in our system. I think we're seeing people who, you know, may not have thought about their mental health, or who, you know, wouldn't have thought about getting help. And I think that, you know, it's they're, you know, either reaching out to their church leaders or to their friends, and you know, in some cases they are making it into our system as well for different reasons. But you know, I am hopeful that, you know, we will continue to try to troubleshoot this issue and make sure that we're providing the best possible array of services that we can to people who call on us for help.
Right. Now, what about homelessness? Does that play a big part in our city nowadays?
It does. You know, I think that's a population that, you know, we do try to partner with, and we do have a current effort that we're working on with our partners in the criminal justice system around mental health diversion from the jail and correctional settings for those individuals who, you know, may have a more significant mental health problem, who are getting in trouble with law enforcement and ending up in jail. But, you know, that's certainly one of the things that one of our partners there is a homeless shelter, and trying to, you know, figure out how can we work with them to, you know, maybe help identify some of the individuals who are using their shelter who, you know, may benefit from mental health services, and try to figure out how we can work together to bring that, to close that gap, so that there's not as many people kind of falling through the cracks.
Right, because that's a very I can imagine that has to be a very traumatizing experience. Even though you do crime, but to be locked away, and it's got to be traumatizing for people.
Yes, I would agree, and it's sometimes hard to identify as well. You know, a lot of times, you know, everyone's situation's different, and so you don't know how people get, you know, to the point where they're, you know, kind of interfacing with you, regardless of what your profession is, and so you have to be mindful of that. And in some cases, you're just not going to know, you know, what significant issues, you know, someone or some family's dealing with until you get to know them and have a little bit of a relationship with them.
Right, right. Yes, there. Some things are just complex. Just no easy way out, but it takes diligence and working for the better. For the better of the good of mankind. And we all play a part mm-hmm. in that. We all play a part. No matter what color we may be. No matter
Correct.
Where we may
Correct.
Be. Right, you know, in society or how much money we make. We're supposed to be helpers one to another. I'm looking forward to 2022, even though COVID came with us. I'm just looking for great and better things. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say I am too, and I hope that, you know, with the warmer weather, hopefully here not too far off in the horizon, that will help. You know, these winter months are always tough because, you know, we lose daylight and. You know, sometimes can have some seasonal affective disorder kind of sneak in on us and make it seem like we're, you know, kind of, you know, with the shorter days, it just kind of makes it seem a little bit more dreary. And sometimes it's harder to kind of, you know, focus on, you know, positive things and, you know, it affects individuals differently. But hopefully with the spring coming up here before too long, that will definitely help.
We could use a lot more sunshine.
Yeah, it would be. I mean, these cold days, I mean, even when you can get a little bit of sunshine, it just makes it feel warmer, and at least it makes you feel like there's a little bit more optimism, and, you know, the days are noticeably longer now, so that's
right.
a good thing. And so hopefully, again, that'll be something that gives people, you know, something to look forward to, and we can all benefit from that extra, you know, vitamin D from the sun.
I know that's right, because, you know, I was saying to my daughters, I said, you know, some of these days are so dark, I just can't believe it. Just like 2021 to me was just dark. We have more dark days than sunlight, and like you said, you get mm-hmm. that doom and gloom feeling, and it's like, wow, do I even want to go outside? Do I really want to, you know, get up and put my clothes on and go out and see what's out there in the world today? And it's like, no, I don't think so. I don't feel like it. But you're so right. It plays an important part. The light, it means a lot. Sunshine, you know, it's a warm feeling and puts a smile on your face and makes you want to get up and get out there and do something, right? So I just hope that we have more sunshiny days on the way. And so have you taken time to... schedule your vacation this year?
Yeah, I mean, if you're able to do that, I mean, time away to reflect and kind of, you know, really, you know, express gratitude for the things that you have. I think that's always something that's helpful for a good number of folk, and, you know, something that I've been trying to be a little bit more mindful about practicing myself. But yeah, it's important to take care. I think one of the big things I think hopefully COVID has, you know, I'll speak for myself, helped me with is kind of that whole piece around self-care and recognizing that you really can't pour from an empty cup. And so it's important to, you know, be there not just for yourself, but to be there. You can't, you know, give of yourself and to your family if you're not really kind of recharged and doing those things to, you know, help support yourself. So it's that self-care, I think, has really come to be a very important feature of what we've all been dealing with COVID.
I think so, too, because it seems like COVID targeted the things we neglected in our bodies, our health.
Mm-hmm.
Like people with diabetes or whatever, and it their numbers were just sky high or off the Richter scale, or, you know, maybe they had kidney problems or heart problems. It like magnified things that were already down and needed to be built up in our bodies and stuff. And a lot of people mm-hmm. didn't make it once they got COVID. They just didn't make it.
Right.
They just died, you know, and that's so sad. We've lost a lot of people to COVID.
Yes.
A lot of people. Well, Brad, seems like you have a lot going on for 2022, and we're looking forward.
Yeah, I think so. I'm you know, kind of cautiously optimistic. I think there's some, you know, new opportunities for us to kind of learn and improve, and you know, we've got a really, you know, great board of directors that, you know, help us as staff from both Crawford County and Marion County, and I'm very thankful for them and the feedback that they give us, and, you know, just their time that they're willing to share. So I really appreciate their work. I appreciate all my staff that, you know, there's only five others other than me. So that's for two counties, and we stay pretty busy, but I appreciate their dedication and, you know, willingness to try to make things, you know, run smoothly from whatever their function is, so that we can, you know, be able to help as many people as we can.
Are you still associated with the children's home in Marion?
With the, I'm sorry, with the what?
Children's home.
No, village? No, okay. We're not.
I know you were doing some kind of work out there.
Yeah, with the Family Resource Center, we have partnered with them in terms of just trying to make some referrals and figure out some other services that we can perhaps partner on. But yeah, we've been kind of watching that grow and evolve over the last, I would say, year or so. So hopefully that's a resource that the community will take full advantage of.
So if you had to put something out there for the public to be mindful of, what would you have to say to them today?
I think it's important that we, you know, think about being mindful of ourselves and other people. You know, if you know that you're kind of burning the candle on both ends, I would encourage individuals to try to take a step back as best you can, and, you know, whether it's, you know, mindfulness, whether it's just, you know, some type of breathing techniques or things like that, I would just encourage to take the break you can as much as you can, and try to regroup and recharge. And I think I would also say on as soon as you do that, I would also check on the other people in your life that you might be concerned with, whether it's a healthcare issue or maybe a mental health or substance use disorder. If you're worried about someone, call them and check on them. And, you know, be actively engaged in that life. So I think that's about it. I would say, again, self-care, check on others, and be there for your family as best you can.
That's big. And I think we have neglected that over the years. But it's so important that we care for one another, I tell you.
Yes.
We just can't let things slide anymore. It's too important. Lives are too important. You know, our future.
Yes.
Yeah, I just had a great-grandson born.
Hey, congratulations.
Thank you. I just went to see him today for, like, always running to the doctors. It seemed like he's been there more than he's been at home. His name is Zedekiah, but he is so sweet. Sweet little boy.
You have a great-grandson, and you don't look a day over 35.
Oh, well, thank you, Brad.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, my family was slow having babies, my grandkids too, so yeah, I thank God for it. I'm still around to see it. Amen. Not that I'm that old, but you know.
No, well, it certainly is one of life's pleasures. I know we've got a couple grandkids now of our own, and it's just a completely different experience, and you know, it kind of makes you, what I say to my other family members is, it's like one of those best kept secrets. I mean, you kind of hear people talk about it, but until you experience it yourself and just kind of feel the joy and kind of the awe of that kind of generation passing and you know, your kids having kids or, you know, grandkids having kids, whatever the case may be, it really is an extremely awe-inspiring thing.
Yes, it is. Wouldn't trade it for anything in the world.
Yep, me either.
Okay, Brett, I thank you for your time today, and wish you the best.
Well, thank you, Linda. It's always a pleasure to chat with you.
Of course, and wish you the best for 2022, and stay well.
You too. Take care now.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Everybody, that was Brad DeCamp, Adam H. Board. Hello? Still there? Okay. Now, we thank Brad for spending time with us and sharing with us what's going on with the Adam H. Board, all the things that they went through last year. They're still dealing with health issues and suicide and overdoses and drug abuse. And not only that, the counseling center, you know, transitional housing. There's a lot going on. You know, I think my thinking is that COVID shed the light on a lot of things that needed to have attention targeted toward. And homelessness is big all over the United States. And don't even talk about Venice, California. Homelessness has taken over. My name is Linda Sims. I thank you for tuning in to A Voice of a People today here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. Remember Valentine's Day. I will be having Kimba Hubbard and Tim Jones here. It's going to be our Valentine's special. So those of you who are interested in those two, the dynamic duo, please tune in 4:15 to 4:30. Next Monday, Valentine's Day. Till next time, be blessed.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 LP, Marion, Ohio. The place to talk. From legendary